Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make, and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when coaching yourself has never been more important. As such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. Her name is Antonia Bowring. Antonia is a highly credentialed top New York executive coach. She works primarily with founders, C-suite executives, and leadership teams. One of her many areas of expertise is helping neurodiverse leaders create the necessary scaffolding to leverage their gifts and maintain their focus. Antonia is a frequent speaker to companies and groups on topics ranging from mindfulness, ADHD in the workplace, and communication best practices. She is also an esteemed author, having written the very enlightening book entitled Coach Yourself, Increase Awareness, Change Behavior, and Thrive. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Antonia.
Wow, Greg, thank you. That was a very beautiful and thorough introduction. So I appreciate that.
The pleasure is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me, please, from what city and state you're speaking from this morning.
Well, this is beautiful synchronicity. I am probably like only a few miles from you. I'm in Chelsea in Manhattan. Yeah.
Oh, what a coincidence. Certainly
Yeah. Yeah.
beautiful Manhattan. Certainly no place in the world like it. That's for sure. Antonia, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours
We
talking
could.
about this incredible book, the background. We're going to just jump right into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
Our listeners always love to hear a little bit about our guests. So can you kindly share with us, please, a bit about your great background?
I would be happy to, and I'll make it very brief. I will say I wish I'd had a book like Coach Yourself a long time ago, because I feel like I had a very up and down, peaks and valleys work journey. And the last decade, I did various things. I worked in nonprofits. I worked in overseas in microfinance. I was a management consultant. I was COO at a big environmental organization and a few other things. And really, a decade ago, I became an executive coach because what I was doing went bankrupt. And that felt like the worst moment, and it became the best moment
Wow.
because this is what I was born to do, and I'm really good at it. And I couldn't have done it a long time ago because I do think part of what you bring is your experience. But I just want to say for all the folks out there who are like, I don't know what to do, what I should be doing, what I should be pursuing, believe in yourself, trust the process, don't sit on the sofa and watch Netflix. Get out there and step by step do proactive things and it will unfold. That positive energy will unfold opportunities.
We are so blessed to have someone of your ilk today on Thank God for Monday. Antonia, important question. Why this book and you as the author? Isn't the market really clogged with self-help books about leadership, personal professional development? Share with us more, please.
Yeah, it is clogged. And I wrote this book because I actually hadn't intended to write a book, but then a publisher came to me and asked me if I wanted to write one. And, you know, my agenda with this book is to democratize executive coaching, because executive coaching is very expensive, not available to everybody. But I thought to myself, I use about the same dozen frameworks over and over and over and over, whether I'm coaching a CEO, an SVP, or someone new into the work world. I don't do much of that coaching, but you know what I mean. And so these are my frameworks and the ones I use all the time that I know work. And what I did is I wrote the book in a way that an individual can access these frameworks with reflection questions and ideas about how to implement them themselves, even if they don't have a coach.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Now, you mentioned you use frameworks. Is there a framework or two that has been really most beneficial for your clients? Share with us more about these, please.
Yeah, it kind of depends where you are. I'll give you my favorite, but if you can say this, like talking about your children, right? And say you have a favorite child. You can't do that. You love them all the same. The book is structured that there's a couple of frameworks at the beginning that are kind of like how to get going, kind of big, this is how you have the journey frameworks. And then there's a section on communication frameworks, because communication challenges are common in every engagement I do, period.
Wow.
And then there's a section on management, and those frameworks, management teams, are helpful if you're the manager or being managed, right? You get both. And then there's a final section on habits and how to make behavior change stick. So that's the way the book is organized. And ideally, you'd pick it up and open it to wherever you are having your challenge. But to answer your question, I think in life, if you don't know your values, you don't have a path.
Wow.
And for me, I start every single engagement I do with a client doing a values inventory. What are your values? And not only, that's part one, because your values help guide. How do you have a North Star if you don't know your values? How can you? And the key thing is, how do you activate them? Not just for your long-term goals, but how do you activate those values every single day? And that's really important to me. And I talk about that in the book. You got to live them.
That sounds really foundational, certainly. And it's interesting you mentioned about the book, because as our listeners know, I am a terrible reader. But you've done a magnificent job with this book. Even somebody like me can pick it up, read it, understand it, and most importantly, apply it, certainly.
Oh, good, good. And Greg, let me say, that's why also in the back, it was really important for me. I have a summary of all the frameworks in a table, when you'd use it, key questions, so that you could look at the back and just see the whole thing at once.
Oh, that's wonderful. A great, great resource. No doubt about it. And at the end of the show, we're going to tell all loyal listeners just exactly how they can pick up this great book. Now, one of the things that you do so well, transformational coaching. Share with us about this, please, and how this is linked to some of these coaching frameworks, please.
Okay. So now you're asking me my secret mission. So I am not really interested in you getting your new job, you getting promoted. What I'm really interested is you having purpose and making a difference in the world and
Wow.
being a kind, compassionate manager and leader. That's what I'm really interested in. That's my under the radar mission in all my coaching. That's what I care about. And that's transformational coaching. When it's not transactional, like, oh, if I ask better questions, I'll impress my boss. And no, it's really like, who are you authentically? What is your purpose and your passions, and how are you going to make this world a better place? And we live that out through our work. So that's what's going on in the coaching I do.
This is so Franciscan, Antoni, because what it sounds like to me, you're transforming individuals, but at the same time, you're transforming the world.
Well, it's funny you say that. Because it's very funny you say that. When I was younger and I worked in microfinance, I wanted to transform the world. I wanted to go to other countries, help open up financial systems for women, help them. And
Wow.
I will say, as I got older, I found myself gravitating to getting much more satisfaction working one-on-one, where I could see individual change and how that impacted bigger systems.
Oh,
Oh,
that's
funny
so
you say
good.
that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, it's very interesting. The title of your book, very unique to me, Coach Yourself. I'm sure our listeners maybe are wondering, and I wondered before I read this great book, but share with our listeners, please. Can one really coach themselves?
Yeah, I think you can. Not I think, I know you can. It look, it's there is a famous coach, famous, one of the most famous executive coaches in the world. And do you know what he has every day? He pays for someone to call him and ask him five questions about things he's working on and to rate
Really?
himself. How did you do today on whatever they are that he's working on. And so nothing replaces that kind of individual, direct personal attention. But that comes with a price tag that most of us can't afford, right?
You are.
So I would say this book, yes, you can coach yourself, but you do need resilience and determination. And not everybody has that all the time. But just, I would say, a lower bar is to be curious about how I can be or do better, and open the book just with curiosity. But you can coach yourself.
Wow, that's really, really wonderful to know. Now, I've got to ask this as a follow-up, if you don't mind, because you mentioned about having a coach. Did you at one time have a coach, or even now, do you
Oh,
have a coach?
yeah, that's a great question. Not I don't it's funny, I don't get asked that a lot. So I do. I think if you're a coach, you should have a coach. And right now, I am so fortunate. My coach is an ADHD master coach. She's 'cause that's a theme that runs through my book.
Sure.
About ADHD. And this woman, I took a course from her, with a bunch of people, and her humanity knocked my socks off. I don't think I've ever met anyone more human than this woman, but her name is Barbara Luther. But don't all call her, because I need her to have time for me. And she It's just, it is really like I feel like I sit at her feet.
Oh.
Not figuratively, not literally.
Oh, that is so wonderful, that's for sure. Now, if we understand correctly, you've been an executive coach. I think you mentioned it's been about 10 years now.
Yeah, I have.
And I'd like to ask you about key messages for three key groups: young professionals climbing the ladder, mid-career professionals deciding if they want to keep climbing the ladder, or later stage executives deciding if this is enough. Why don't we start with the young professional? Thank God for Money is really a show geared to college students and early alums. So we're particularly interested. What's your key message to young professionals climbing the ladder? Help us out, Antonia, please.
One message. Well, my message is threefold, which is invest in your future. And there's three parts to that.
Please.
One part to that is find mentors. And at certain points in your career, invest in a coach if it's not coming from work. There are many affordable options today, but invest in your future means investing in yourself. Find those mentors. Number two is treat your net. I hate the word network. I like the word community.
Oh.
Build your community. And building your community is give and take. It's not just about what you can do for me. It's about also, well, what might I be able to share with you? How do I make it a back and forth? And by the way, please tell all your college students, lots of people in the work world today do not understand millennials, Gen Z, and they want help. You have a fantastic, unique perspective to offer back to help them understand. And then the third leg of this is you got to read, you got to invest, you got to take courses, you got to be investing in your own skill set and mentality to be successful in the way you want to define it.
Wow, that's fascinating. It's interesting because whether it's Seton Hall, St. Francis College, Siena College, the three stations currently our show is aired on, all great schools, you are saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, someone gets a 4-year degree from one of these great schools, they still need to continue reading, they still need to continue learning. It's a
For their
continuous learning
whole
process.
life, for their whole life. Yeah,
Terrific,
yeah.
terrific.
Think of getting out of college. Well, I'll give you an example. I did an MBA, okay, and I would say I learned more working as a management consultant after my MBA than I learned in my MBA.
Wow.
It was so, yeah, like this is just the beginning. And I don't say that in a negative or scary way. This is just the beginning. You just got the basic building blocks. Now you got to go forward and figure out what to do with them. And that means really maintaining a learning mindset.
Wow, that is absolutely awesome. Now, if we can jump a bit, please, Antonia, the mid-career professional deciding if he or she they want to keep climbing the ladder. Your message might be a little different for them, I would imagine.
My message there would be know your worth, know what you are good at, and make sure other people know it, not in a braggartly way, but in a kind of authentic, self-confident way. Make sure people know who you are and what you're doing if you want to climb that ladder. And make sure you are getting exposure in other parts of the company. Make sure various people up, down, and around know who you are, know what you're good at, and can talk about you to others. Because guess what? All the most important decisions in your career will be made when you are not in the room.
Whoa, that is amazing. No doubt about that. I never thought of that, but you're exactly right. And finally, the later stage executive deciding, have I had enough? Quick message for them, possibly, Antonia.
Yeah. Have you had enough? Are you investing in the next generation? Are you giving back through sharing your expertise, your wisdom, and bringing up the next generation? Don't hold on for too long. Make sure you're investing in the next gen.
Oh, that is so, again, Franciscan, not a holding on of the good, but a sharing of the good, Antonio. That is so beautiful. Now, I want to ask you about your work with ADHD because there's really, as you said before, a sub-theme to the book about ADHD. Isn't that really a totally different book? Share with us your mindset here, please.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It is a totally different book. And my publisher said, well, you got to put a chapter in about it if you're going to write another one about ADHD.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not the focus of the book, but it's so important to me that I did want to put it in a small way. And it's important to me because I got an adult diagnosis of ADHD, and it's had a profound, profound impact on my self-confidence, on my kind of personal narrative, and also, just coming up with better scaffolding and tools to mitigate some of the challenges it delivers to me.
Wow, that is incredible. I don't know if you would feel comfortable. Can you share a little bit more about your diagnosis and what your journey to acceptance has looked like, Antonia?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think when you're an adult, which is different than maybe when you get it as a child. And by the way, I think the world has changed. My dream is the day when someone says to you at work, you say to someone at work, yeah, and I have ADHD, and they say, oh, okay, what can we do to make it easier for you on this team? That would be my dream, that
Yes, what a
it's
beautiful
just,
dream.
yeah, it just means different brain wiring. As an adult diagnosis, it was almost an immediate feeling of washing away of shame. And I think it's different when you're an adult because I wasn't surprised when I got it. This is very typical. My son got a diagnosis, and when I heard the tester talking about, I was like, oh, that sounds like me. And
Wow.
then it took a couple more years before I actually got the diagnosis. But it was more like a, oh, okay, that confirms what I thought. And what it did, I like to talk about ADHD as the profound and the practical. And the profound is, what are all these messages we've been telling ourselves for our entire life that create shame and lack of confidence based on having different brain wiring? And that's a journey to reframe, which is so powerful. And then the practical is, okay, now I know I'm impulsive, I have trouble focusing, I am very emotional. How do I better scaffold myself to not necessarily get rid of it, but be aware of it and shift some behavior so that I can be calmer and more show up the way I want to show up.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Believe it or not, we've only got about 6 minutes, Antonia. Time is going way too fast. I still have a couple of important questions for you.
Sure, yeah.
Certainly delivering, and I can sense you're a very compassionate person. That comes out so clearly through the book and the time we've spent already today. Are there a couple of steps that you can recommend to deliver compassionate but candid feedback? Create a relationship of trust between colleagues. Help us out here. This is so important.
Yeah, That is a great point. I would recommend the book Compassionate Leadership by Hugard, Hugaard. And I think there's two pieces here. First of all, this is a lifelong journey, right? We avoid awkward conversations,
Wow.
most of us, everybody. So that's the starting point. First of all, you need there to be psychological safety and trust. So actually knowing people as humans, having a rapport, investing in knowing each other as people is really the first step. Because even if you delivered the most beautiful, fantastic feedback, but there's no basis, there's no fertile ground, those seeds can't grow.
Sure.
So number one, be people. Get to know each other as people, even if that's in a small way in a company, right? And then secondly, be direct. Direct if you're respectful, if you're direct within giving time and space to the process is so helpful, because you want people to understand what you're saying. You want to deliver it with enough space, though, so that there can be some distilling, some processing, but you don't want to spend 20 minutes, blah, blah, and then deliver, drop it, and there's 5 minutes to go, and then you run out the door because you're so uncomfortable. So being centered, and, you know, Greg, I don't think this is the news you want to hear, but I respect you enough to give it to you straight. You're not going to get that promotion. I have another 45 minutes. Let's talk about it. Let's process it. What questions do you have for me?
Wow, that is so beautiful, again, so Franciscan, but yet direct, and it clearly communicates the message, which is exactly what we want to do. Maybe this is an unfair question to ask with only a couple of minutes left, but I do want to talk. You mentioned the word habit earlier. I don't know if this is your own term, habit loop, but what is the habit loop? How does it work in building new, powerful, and lasting habits? 2020
So that
and beyond.
That is, so I'm going to punt a little bit on that and say James Clear, Atomic Habits, is pretty much the, I would say, the go-to Bible on habits. Having said that, it really is about, you know, what is the stimulus that triggers you to have a response because you want to achieve a certain state, right? So, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. I want to drink more water, right? Okay, because I know that's healthy. Oh, okay. How can I create an environment where I introduce a small change? Ah, I drink tea every day. When I plug in the kettle, can that be my cue, right? Cues are really important for habits, to then pour a glass of water and drink it while I wait for the kettle.
Oh, wow.
Because then I get the benefit of the hydration and the feeling of doing something good for my health.
That's brilliant. So the plugging in of the kettle there is
the cue
to go get a glass of water.
Exactly. And that's called kind of habit stacking as well, right? Like, you want to build habits onto things you're already doing to make it easier. That's one example. If habits were easy, we'd all do it the same way. The chapter in the book gives lots of, you know, there's environmental cues, there's social cues, there's different, you know, time calendar cues. There's all kinds of different cues, and you need to figure out how does your brain best accept cues.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. We've saved, Antonio, the most important question for last. Where can people purchase a copy of Coach Yourself? How can they learn more from you, please?
Yeah, thank you. So Amazon, Coach Yourself, my name, Antonia Bowring. You can also, a little more circuitously link to it through my website, which is ab-strategies.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn. There's a easy way to find it there, just my name, Antonia Bowring. And I'm also on TikTok talking about ADHD every day, Antonia Bowring 963.
Terrific. Listeners, no excuse. So many ways to keep the conversation going here. Please, please, please do yourself a big favor. Pick up Coach Yourself. Increase awareness, change behavior, and thrive. Not only a copy for you, give this to some others. Valentine's Day is not far away. This is a great gift for Valentine's Day anytime during the year because you're going to be doing a service to yourself. You're going to be doing a service to others. And we've learned so much already for Antonia, but there's a chock full more nuggets in this great book, Coach Yourself. Antonia, we can't thank you enough for being a guest here on Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened, we've been inspired. Continued success, joy, and amazing contribution throughout the rest of 2024 and beyond. Listeners, sadly, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Antonia does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.